Practical Prophetic, where prophetic ministry is made practical. I'm Beth Wingate, I'm your host, and welcome to the podcast. On our podcast today, we are going to talk about a guide, a practical guide, on how to find, change, or maybe even leave a church. And so these are just things that I have learned through the years. And let me preface everything by saying I'm very happy in the church I'm in, and I have no plans to go anywhere. This was all spurred about because of a conversation I had with someone, and things that I've just witnessed through the years. Maybe some things that I can share with you that can help you from some mistakes that I've learned personally or have witnessed, and some things that I've seen done properly and seen done right, and even told myself, hey, in the future, if I'm ever presented, you know, with this situation, that's something I can learn from, and I want to take that with me. And so I thought I would pass these on today, and maybe you're very happy in your church. I hope you are. A lot of our listening audience goes to church with me, and I think we're all very happy with our church. But this is actually the perfect time to talk about these things, because maybe someone in your life is searching for a church, or whatever the case may be. And these are things that you don't often hear taught in church. And so the podcast gives us a platform where we can talk about these kind of things, these practical things. Because obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you're interested in the prophetic. But I'm also all about being practical. And there's nothing more prophetic than having the Lord lead you to the church that you will attend. And I'm going to lay down our foundation scripture right off the top, and it's found in Hebrews 10:25. It says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." And there's so many scriptures that talk about the importance of us corporately worshiping the Lord together in community. And so I really want to start off by talking about that. We had some friends years ago who decided to do like a home church. And they mentioned that they were modeling that after the early church. Well, that's certainly one way to do church. However, the Bible does talk about what we call the fivefold ministry, and in that is that of the pastor, the office of the pastor. And so I do feel like it is important to be in a church with that accountability and that covering of your pastor. The Bible also talks about deacons and elders. You know, however your church is structured and set up, some have that as like an advisory board, some have deacons and elders in a role within the church. That, you know, that's here nor there. As long as there's some kind of authority structure, some kind of covering, some kind of system of checks and balances in a denominational church, the structure will be a little more clear. And in non-denominational churches, it may not be as clear, but I do think there should be some kind of accountability structures in place. And so one of the reasons I attend church, of course, is to be worshiping the Lord together with other believers. But I believe that, and I've chosen to submit myself, me and my family, to the leadership of our pastor. Now, does that mean that a pastor, you know, lords over you and tells you? No, of course not. There was a thing in the 80s and 90s called the shepherding movement, where we saw even in extreme forms spiritual abuse, and there was pastors telling people who they could marry, and, you know, kind of crazy stuff like this. Of course, we're not talking about that. But then you have some people who are completely untethered to church on the other side of the pendulum, and they have no real spiritual accountability in their life. And I really think we could only benefit from having that spiritual covering, that spiritual accountability. And I do believe that however your church's government is set up, it is the role of the pastor to get the vision of God for the area, for the community, for your church, and the people in your church, to build you up in discipleship, and then to take the Word of God and evangelize and serve and love on the local community. So that's the basic, sort of my basic views on the church. And of course, today's podcast is very practical. These are my views. You may not agree 100% with all my views on this, but these are things I've learned, and I really think it could benefit people who are maybe facing this, or someone in your life is facing decisions about church. Maybe they haven't really been in church and they're looking for a church, or maybe they're changing churches or considering leaving the church they've been in for whatever the reasons may be. And I'm going to kind of go through those, and I'm just going to speak for myself. I'm not going to talk about other people's stories. I'm going to share my own personal stories today. So let's start off with finding a church. Now, this is something that I was really faced with when my husband and I first got married. We moved out of state. We had no reference, you know, for what church to go to. We didn't know a soul. And so that was a really interesting experience to go in cold and just visit churches. And some were outside of, you know, our denominational norms. We were strangers. We didn't know anybody. And so that was a really interesting journey. And so we lived there about a year. And we really never did find a, quote, home church while we were there. We just really, it's a long story, but our whole move was really kind of temporary. And we didn't know it at the time, but God was working on things behind the scene. And then when we came back, we lived outside of the town I grew up in. And we began to search for churches again. And we did find a church, and we were happy there. But I wouldn't say it was a 100% fit. So that was a very interesting journey as well. And so I'm hoping to just sort of share these things with you, and maybe you can relate to some of the things I'm talking about. So I do have some experience of walking into a church in a foreign, you know, city where I don't know anyone, and what that experience feels like. And I can definitely tell you, and we may do a future podcast on how to be involved in your local church and how to really welcome people and you know, do all the things that you're supposed to do, because that really taught me a lot when I would go into church, you know, if the people were friendly or maybe they were a little standoffish. You know, the culture inside of a church can be as varied from church to church, and so that's really fascinating too. But I'm going to get back to just right now on when you're making a decision to find a church. So the very first thing you should do when you're looking for a church, maybe you're a college student and you're away at college and you can't come to your home church every Sunday. And so, you know, where do you go to church? Maybe you have moved and you're in a new area, new town, new part of town, and you're looking for a church or whatever. Maybe you're a new believer and you're looking for a church. I live in the South, where there is literally a church on every street corner. I mean, we are in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and so there are churches everywhere. We are inundated with choice here. The first thing, and I'm just got some bullet points. I'm not going to like go into a long teaching on this. I'm really just sharing my heart today. But the first thing would be to pray. To pray. You need to ask the Lord. You need to really seek the Lord about this decision. Don't get in a hurry. Pray about it. Begin to pray. Throughout the week, pray about it. You know, maybe you have a friend who invites you to their church, and that gives you a point of contact. Well, of course, that's wonderful, but you've got to pray about your own decision. You're not going to live your life just because your friend, you know, is doing this or doing that. I hate to break it to you, but there are friends in your life that will come and go, and the Lord is a constant in your life. And so you have to seek the Lord. You have to pray about what church you should be at. Number two, basically, location is going to dictate oftentimes where you go to church. I'll share this. My brother-in-law, they lived not too far from Jensen Franklin's church, but it was about an hour away. And when they could, they would go. But there's no way, you know, that they could get involved and be there on a regular basis with the, you know, the church being so far away. But of course, they love the church and they love to go visit. But that's just not practical. I mean, that's not real life. When you have jobs and a family and all of these kind of things, you know, an hour is really pushing the outer boundary of what is feasible. And I'll say this too. I've been someone who drove almost 40 miles to church before, and I did that for many years. And that was difficult, and that was before I had children. I cannot imagine doing that with kids. So oftentimes, you know, location does sort of narrow your choices right off the bat. The next thing is doctrine. Doctrine is very important. Now, I'm a big believer on the quote by St. Augustine that says, in essentials, we must have unity. Things like salvation, the things about the virgin birth, Jesus dying on the cross, being raised from the dead, those are essential beliefs. On things non-essential, it says we must have liberty. And that would be things like, you know, if you're a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, you know, viewpoint on the rapture, we don't have to agree 100% on those things. And if you think you do, you know, that's fine. I understand that. That may even narrow your choices more. And then it says in all things, charity. And I love that quote because really that sort of nails things down. Now, for me, there are some things that are kind of non-negotiable for me in my doctrine and my doctrinal beliefs. But there's some other things that I have some flexibility with. I'll give you an example on myself. I was, when I was young, I was raised Baptist, and then we went to a Word of Faith church for many years. We went to Assembly God churches, Church of God, and non-denominational, or what you would call like charismatic churches. So I'm a bit of a hybrid. And then I would also go and visit, especially for special services, the Messianic church. So I've got sort of an all over the place, you know, and I think I could be comfortable in any of those kind of churches if I felt like that's where the Lord had led me. So doctrine is important. Now, this day and age, some churches are a little hesitant to put their doctrines, like the What We Believe page, on their, you know, post. And so I do think it's important to know what your church believes. If they are a denomination, that does make it somewhat, or, you know, if they're a part of a denomination, that does make it a little bit easier because you then have some kind of idea of what their general beliefs are. You know, that's pretty basic. Most Protestant evangelical churches are going to agree on all the essentials. And so that's pretty important. I mean, you know, there are some denominations that sort of fall outside of that category. And I don't want to name off denominations, but I'll just say this, like a Church of Christ church and a Assembly of God church are going to have very different beliefs outside of those very basic essentials. So, you know, there's a spectrum. And so you need to be aware of what the doctrine is in a church. And if they don't have it posted, I recommend that you look up whatever denomination they're connected with, whatever their beliefs are. And then if that's not available to you, I would say make a phone call to the church and just ask them, you know, what is your doctrinal positions or your, you know, doctrinal statement. And most churches are more than willing to give you that. And if they're not, that may be something you want to take a pause on and consider. The next thing is family. You have to have something, and I'll share this story more as we continue this podcast, but there has to be something for everybody in the family. A lot of churches, some churches don't offer very much for children or youth or whatever. And if you have teenagers or children, that's something you need to consider, that everyone in the family is being ministered to. And so that's definitely something to consider when you're considering a church. This is where we get a little bit more practical. I would definitely recommend this, is that when you feel like the Lord is leading you to a church and you've kind of narrowed your choices down and you begin to start visiting churches, I would say don't just go one time unless you know immediately that the answer is like, no, this is not a fit. But if you're considering a church, I would say give it a good 4 to 6 weeks, 4 to 6 visits at that church, to really make sure, as you pray through your decision, especially when you're going to find a church, that, hey, this is where I want to be. I will share this story that we were one time looking for a church, and my parents and us were me and my husband, we were looking together. You know, we wanted to all stay in the same church if possible, and we had committed to at least try that. And so we visited a local church. I would even call it a mega church. It was very popular. There was a lot of, you know, well over 1,000 members there. Had always heard nothing but good things about the church, knew a few people there. It seemed like a logical fit. And so I just assumed, hey, this will be right where we need to go. So we visited. Everything was great. Church was great. No problems. My kids loved it. wonderful. Knew a few people, felt comfortable. The people were very friendly. The pastor preached a solid message. You know, everything was good. Tried the church, and I just could not get, I really don't know how to describe this, but I could not get a peace about it in my heart. I just sort of felt like things were in the air. And we had tried the church for several weeks. I think we were coming up on about the fifth or sixth week, and just really did not have a peace in my heart. Just didn't feel like things were clicking, but I really couldn't give a good reason. And if that didn't work out, I really had no idea where we would go either. And so, and we really wanted to make this decision as a family, and all of us were pretty much feeling this way. And so we were praying about it, talking about it, you know, just considering and mulling over this big decision. And I do feel like it's a huge decision where you attend church. And we had an encounter at a restaurant with some people that went to the church. And without going into any detail, it sort of sealed our decision for us. I can't explain even how that happened. It was nothing anyone necessarily said or did. It was just, you know, it's just not where I felt like the Lord was leading us. And it's just that simple. It just sort of gave me that peace, that answer that I was looking for. And I really felt like the Lord said, it's okay to keep looking. This is not, at this time, this is not the place for you guys. And so I prayed about it, spoke to, my mother was actually with me, and we both got that same, I guess, confirmation at the same time. And I feel very confident with that decision even to this day. I really felt like the Lord was walking us through that decision. And that, to me, that one just became very clear in that moment. And then I'll say this about finding a church. The church that I'm in now, it's actually a little north of where I live. And typically, I had done all my social life and everything to the south of where I live, because that's where I went to high school and that's where I knew everyone. That was very familiar to me. And so to go in the opposite direction just seemed a little counterintuitive to what I was used to. And so I don't think I really considered the church I was in presently when we were looking for a church until the pickings got slim. And so the church I'm in now had a huge, like a vacation Bible school, but really that doesn't really do it justice to describe it. But we had taken our kids there, and then my sister began to attend there. And I had this little encounter, this little God moment. Here's your prophetic moment for the day. So years before we were even looking for a church, I saw a little sign, like a little sign that you would stick in your yard that was advertising this church. And it said Flow of the Spirit Church. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, that's great. I like that. I like that they're not ashamed of who they are, because we had been in a church where they were really trying to go in a seeker sensitive direction, and they were downplaying that they were Pentecostal and trying to be more mainstream. And in the pursuit of that, I just felt like it was a little disingenuous. And that's just my honest opinion. And so when I saw this sign, I was like, wow, that's awesome. I love that. And it's like the Lord just dropped in my spirit as I was driving in my car passing this sign that I knew. I didn't know how, I didn't know when, didn't know any detail, just felt like the Lord impressed upon me that I would have something to do with that church someday. Now, mind you, a couple of years passed. And after we had made the clear decision with my family not to attend this church that we had been checking out, my mom is the one that said, I think we're going to go try your sister's church up here. You know, I've been praying about it, and think that's what I'm going to do if, you know, if y'all want to come. And so I was hesitant just because it was so unfamiliar. I knew I wouldn't know anyone there, and wasn't something I was considering in the moment. But after praying about it, I felt like the Lord was like, yes, yes, you should go. Talked to my husband about it. He prayed about it. You know, we felt good about that. So we went. Well, the first time I was sitting in the service, you know, for a regular visit, I knew that was it. There was really no question in my mind, not in my mom's mind, my dad's mind, my husband's mind. Yeah, all of us just sort of knew this is it. is where we're supposed to be. And we've been there ever since. And so, and we're very happy at our church. And so that was just sort of my story that I thought I'd share with you, that, you know, we prayed about it. And then we gave this first church an earnest look. And we were thorough with that, but just was waiting on the Lord to make it clear. And the answer I got really wasn't the one I initially thought would be, because logically I knew so many people at this first church that that's logically where I thought I would have ended up. But I always want to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. And even when it's something I don't think in the moment is a good fit or whatever, I've learned and I know better enough to trust the voice of the Lord. And so just sort of my story about finding a church. Now, once you find a church, and I won't spend too much time on this because this is about finding, changing, and leaving a church. Once you do find a church that you fit in, I definitely recommend that you meet the pastor or someone on the staff. That's very important that you get to know your leadership. Now, our church and most churches will have like a pastor's meal for visitors or a class you go through when you join a church or something along those lines. That's absolutely the best way to do that. If your church does not have that, I recommend that you call and make an appointment, at least a telephone appointment at the very least. And if you can meet in person or ask to meet with the pastor on an evening service, after an evening service or whatever, you know, just it's important that you have a relationship with your leadership on some level. I just think that's important. And then the other thing is to be involved. There's a thing called the Pareto Principle that is absolutely true in church, and that's that 20% of the people who attend your church typically will do 80% of the work. Or the involvement. And that's just true. That's just human nature. And 80% of the people will do 20% of the work or involvement. And that's just people. That's human nature. And so you want to be part of that percentage that is invested in your church. This is something I say. You know, the Bible says to have friends, you have to be a friend. Well, the same applies in everything in life. You only get out of things what you put into them. You have to make an investment into your church. And so sign up for a small group if that's offered at your church, or if you can volunteer for something or whatever, you need to get involved. You need to do something besides just attending on Sunday morning. You know, if there's night services, a lot of churches have either Sunday night or Wednesday night services, you need to do that. Now, I understand when you have little babies, that's difficult. But now in our family, church was never negotiable. Church is just what we did. It was a part of our culture in our home, part of our ethos. It's just who we are. We go to church. You know, I mean, I probably only miss a couple of services all year, and that's when we're either sick or on family vacation. So church is just a part of who we are. We attend church. That's just who we are, and we're involved. And, you know, for years I was volunteering in the nursery because when I was a teenager, I babysat all the time. I was comfortable around babies. I enjoyed it. And, you know, so that's what I did. And then I would teach the toddler class. Then I started teaching the junior high girls and then the high school girls. And then, you know, it just goes on and on from there. I sang in the choir, and then I became later involved in music ministry. And so, you know, it just becomes a part of your lifestyle, and you just invest yourself in church. And really, if you will do that, especially if you're a young person or are newly married, then that will become normal to your children. And it really does make a difference. And now I'm getting to reap the benefit of watching my children be involved in their local church, which is so satisfying. Well, let's move to the next section. What about if you're changing a church? Let's say you're in your church and you're feeling led to change churches for whatever reason, maybe even moving or going to college or whatever the case may be. Well, number one, I would definitely again say to pray. Pray, and be patient in that. Don't rush through that. It's not a one-time prayer decision. This is a decision that really has massive impact on your life. So put a lot of prayer and thought into that decision. Don't just move. Don't just do something, you know, on a reaction. You really want to be involved in really making the Lord and the Holy Spirit a part of that process. And I would just say, in this case, I would definitely say, if you have a mentor, someone you trust, maybe it's your parent or whoever, I would definitely say seek counsel on that one. You don't need to run to everybody and tell everybody, you know, but maybe one trusted person, seek some counsel, get some outside counsel on that. And then I would definitely say, go back over the reasons I discussed about finding a church and ask yourself why you're wanting to change a church. You know, maybe it is a location issue. That's totally acceptable. Maybe that it is a family issue. In fact, I'll share my story with that. We were in a church one time. It was actually a plant church of a bigger church that we were in. And we had been there about a year. And I loved it. It was great. But once we had children, which I think we came to that church, I was actually pregnant with my oldest son. So when we started there, we did not have children. But as we were there, we had our kids. And I knew very early on, you know, goodness, there's really nothing here for our kids. When they were little babies, that was fine. But as they began to, you know, after a couple of years, hit about 2-3 years old, you know, I wanted them to experience being involved in children's ministry. I think that's important. That was really the main factor for leaving that church. Now, here's something I did wrong. Loved the pastor, loved the church, loved the people. The church was, by the way, mostly retired people. So we were probably one of the only very young families there, which was fun. It's like my kids were surrounded with all these grandparents. It was great. But there was nothing really offered for our children. And I think my niece was now about 4 or 5 years old. And, you know, I just saw that this was, you know, my kids were right behind her. And so that was a real problem. And we just made the decision. And I do believe God was in that decision. And I'll just say this. I had been praying about this decision, me and my husband. And I actually had a spiritual dream. And in the dream was confirmation of all this change that was happening. I mean, long story short, and I may have shared this dream before, and I don't have many of these dreams, by the way. I know I've done some podcasts on dreams and all, but I'll share on there. You know, that's not something, you know, maybe once every few years will I have a significant spiritual dream. But this was one of them, and I dreamed about these three tornadoes, and they represented three winds of change. And in that month that I had the dream, we found out we were pregnant with my second son. My husband changed jobs, and we made the decision to change churches. So I know the dream was spiritual, and that was just confirmation. But one regret I have is we did not actually meet with the pastor and have a formal conversation. And I feel like that was not real fair to him. That was immaturity on my part of not wanting to hurt his feelings. And I probably did more so by not having that conversation. And I wish I could go back and do that over. But, and I know there's a lot of grace there. I think he understood exactly why we were leaving, but I just wish we would have voiced that. That was something I definitely have grown from and learned from, and would like to do differently if ever presented with that, or at least pass that knowledge on to someone else like I'm doing right now. So ask yourself, why? Why are you leaving? There's another time we left a church, and it was over a doctrinal issue. I don't want to get into that. That's a whole long conversation, but, you know, that's important. If you have a conviction about something and you feel like it is biblically sound, you know, and what the church is saying maybe doesn't line up with that, you have to be true to your convictions, and you have to really pray that through. And that can be a very difficult decision. And so meeting with the pastor is important. I definitely think that's something that, that you have to consider. And then maybe leaving a church. And I'll just share, again, my own experiences. And like I said, go through those steps. You know, pray. Wait on the Lord. Don't make a knee-jerk reaction. I'll share this. One church we were in, we were very involved. We were, you know, it's the only church my kids and all. We were very involved. And we had begun to kind of feel this urging or this frustration that, hey, we're, you know, the writing's on the wall here. You know, God is pulling our hearts in a different direction. And believe me, I fought that because I'm probably at times fiercely loyal. And I was being loyal to the building or the ministry or whatever the case was, because I had invested so much of myself, me and my family, into this ministry. I had felt this loyalty to the ministry, even though things had drastically changed. And I was so frustrated. I wrestled with that decision, frankly, for probably a year. I had prayed and prayed and prayed and wrestled with this decision for, you know, a good year, which is probably too long. You know, I just didn't want to let it go. I didn't want to face the reality, but I definitely did my due diligence in praying. And something I did learn, you know, and I did do at this particular church is we had actually a couple of meetings with the pastor. And basically my meeting came down to me saying, hey, give me a reason to stay, you know. And in the end, the Lord used something that was said to make it completely clear to me that the Lord was in this decision and that it was time to go. And so, and I did that with a lot of fear and trembling and prayer and tears. And once the decision was, you know, once this thing was said and the Lord really put that confirmation, you know, forward for me, the decision then was easy. But now walking the decision out was the hard part because we were so invested. We loved the people. You know, we didn't want to leave. But the Lord was actually in that decision, and it was the very best thing for our family. And there's no hard feelings or anything like, you know, anything like that. But it was definitely the Lord having to walk us through that, and it was a process. It didn't just happen overnight. And so maybe some of the things that I've shared with you are something that you can use in a very practical way. I know this is a very different podcast today, and like I said, maybe it doesn't affect you. But maybe this is something you can pass on to someone else who's faced with those decisions. You know, ultimately, the Holy Spirit and His Word is our guide. The Bible is your guide. Prayer and time, you know, time you spend with the Holy Spirit. And then you have to be led and you have to ask the Lord to give you that peace in your heart, give you that confirmation. And so we just have to be obedient to the Lord and to His leading. And that is a prophetic process where you really have to be listening and tuned in to what the Holy Spirit, how He is guiding and leading you through these decisions, because these are massive decisions that have impact on not only you, but your family. And so that's definitely something as a family you should pray about. When we changed churches, even though our kids were very little, they were young, we sat down as a family and we prayed about those decisions as a family. And we were taking into consideration our children and the impact that that would have. And I have to say, because I've really made it a point to seek the Lord on these decisions, I am so pleased. I'm so blessed. God has been so good to us and the churches we've been in. Even when things, you know, kind of unraveled and we would make a change, you know, I don't regret any of the places we've been. There was lessons and things and relationships we carried from those places that I'm grateful for. And I hope that will be your experience too. And so this is one of the biggest decisions we can be led of by the Holy Spirit. And so you really need to be listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because your church is really central to who you surround yourself with, the culture that you surround your children with. And I'll say this, you get out of it what you put into it. You need to invest yourself in your church. There's no greater investment you can make than into the kingdom of God. And so church is one of the ways we do that. And it's good for us, good for our family, and good for the community as we share the love of the Lord with those around us and forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Have a blessed day. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Please be sure to hit the subscribe button so you'll be informed next time I post. Thank you again and have a blessed day.